Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Well, good morning, Patriots. Welcome back from the weekend. Hopefully it was a restful, peaceful, and a safe weekend for all of you out there. This is the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Monochromatic Monday.
Yes.
The truth of God is black and white.
Yes, we love the truth, especially now more than I think we ever have appreciated it than today.
That's right.
Matter of fact, we were even talking, I don't even feel like talking about the news.
Right, exactly.
It is just so much insanity.
Well, it's insane, and I don't mind talking about things if you can do something to correct them. You know, I mean,
right.
I'm a firm believer in don't complain about anything unless you also have a plan to fix it, which I always do. I've always got, you know, there's always something that can be done, whether it costs you nothing or you're going to have to raise money to get it done, or you're just going to have to motivate a whole bunch of people to get behind you and get it done.
Yeah.
There's always something that just one person and the Lord can do, right?
Yeah.
And so this is not the case anymore. This is not the case where clearly the United Nations has told all of the people that go over there as ambassadors that they've blatantly said, ignore the voters.
Yep. Follow this agenda.
Yeah. Follow our agenda. And that's more or less what we're seeing. No matter what we do, Congress ignores us. And then Grandma Seacow comes over here from China and everybody does this, you know, click their heels and salute to the forehead to this guy, and he's nothing but a stinking enemy that's a communist dictator.
Well, here's, you know, a child could identify what needs to be done.
Yep.
There's a lack of willingness to do what needs to be done.
Right.
And anybody with common sense, and this is the frustrating part, is that there's not a lack of solutions.
Right.
You know, seal the border. Stop sending money that we don't have to Ukraine.
Ban electronic voting machines and mail-in ballots.
Exactly. I mean, there's just no shortage of solutions. There's a lack of a will. And stop perverting our children. Stop. I mean,
it all stems from fraudulent elections.
Right.
It truly is. Because the people who are now in office, they, I don't know how they secure their vote when it's fraudulent. You know what I mean? Like the guy that pushes the button in favor of each of these communists that just coincidentally happens to win every single race, right?
Right.
You know, all across America, you know, this
around the world,
around the whole world. Exactly. How do they do that? I mean, do they get behind closed doors and say, well, I will pay this much for this position? Or how do they exactly get picked over, you know, because even amongst commies, there's got to be competition. And so how do they choose which commie is going to be the one that wins the fraudulent vote?
The most promising one, the one that seems to have the most influence, and that's the person that you select to get into the position.
I was
and
thinking the one that's either the richest or the most evil.
Well, but then Hillary would be in the White House.
This is true.
There's a reason why she wasn't selected.
I think that was God's hand in it, actually.
I don't think she's as pliable as the Biden regime would be.
Right.
And the same thing, where we see all of these elections in South America, you see these communists and socialists sweeping all of these elections, and not to mention the coups that are taking place in Africa and South America.
And in Europe and Italy and Greece, all of these different places, we're seeing all of these fraudulent elections. I mean, it's such a no-brainer. And the fact that nobody is attacking these machines is just... It's mind-boggling to me. It doesn't get any more obvious than that.
I think with people like Hillary, for example, she would have been a runaway train that wouldn't have been as controllable. You know, she had her own agenda and her own self-serving thing.
Well,
so
I think that it's that, but it's also, you know, they're still feigning this whole thing that we have a vote.
Right.
So long as they don't blatantly come out and admit that, yes, we no longer, you know, they have stolen every vote since 2020. And no, of course, we don't have an actual vote. They manipulate them all. You know, they push the button as to who wins. So long as they don't come out and say that, and so long as they're not quite so obvious that it might actually spur the whole nation to turn against them suddenly,
right.
I think that they're willing to go with people like Biden, so long as people are still willing to believe they have a vote.
Well, all of these people in this regime were nobodies.
Right.
They're malleable. You know, they're the ones that are going to create the most chaos, the most incompetence.
Right.
You know, for the puppeteers to, you know, to carry out their main agenda. But you know, as far as solutions go, and the one of the problems is the illusion that we have a two-party system.
Right.
You know, like for example, with Mayorkas, clearly should be, if not indicted, at least impeached, right?
But
he should be indicted.
He needs to be in Gitmo,
right.
Basically.
So you have one Congress member willing to put forward the impeachment process, and he gets knocked down by Republicans. There
right.
are 10 Republicans that are responsible for that not going forward.
Yep.
And
there's eight.
Was there eight?
Yep.
I thought there was 10. Okay, so there's so eight of the 10 actually voted against it. There's a real problem. You know, there's a serious issue there with the willingness. And the coup wasn't just a takeover by, you know, a stolen election for the presidency. It's also happening, you know, at the congressional level as well.
Well, at every single level. I mean, and when they've had 23 years, you know, at this point, it's been going for 23 years, these fraudulent electronic voting machine elections. I mean, it's basically the same thing as having Stalin in the White House, because that was his tactic, and he's the one that said it. It's not he who votes that counts, it's he who counts the votes.
That's right.
And so, you know, it just is, it's a no-brainer, and I'm almost just ashamed at this nation for not just totally being aggressive and demanding the ban for electronic voting machines and mail-in ballots. It just can't get any more obvious.
Right.
And it can't get any more lethal to this nation to continue to allow them to exist.
Especially the things that they're squabbling and arguing over in Congress.
Yep.
And this has not come up once. Not
right.
even by our conservative patriot heroes in the Republican Party
right.
have not gone after this with like all knives out.
Right, like they should be. This
right.
should be the number one issue. This is the pivotal issue that controls absolutely everything that happens in this nation.
Right, when you get frustrated because you can't impeach Mayorkas, why is Mayorkas even in that position in the first place?
Right.
If you don't go to the root problem, you're not going to take care of all the other tertiary problems.
That's right.
You know, and so anyway, but I'll tell you what, let's go to the word of the day. And
yes, because after the break, we do have good news. I mean, across the whole world, we're watching all of these duplicate election heists,
yes.
all because of these electronic voting machines that are now employed all around the world. And now suddenly, what a shocker that all the communists are now in charge of every single nation. Surprise, surprise, duh. Well, apparently something happened to them in Argentina, because the anti-socialist guy that was running for president in Argentina, Javier Milei, has actually won. And so we've got a clip here after the break that we are going to share with you, and we're going to share his statement that's absolutely glorious. And this guy was so excited when he won. I just love watching him. He was
so
like
animated.
Yeah, animated, dancing, cheering, you know.
Yeah.
He was beyond excited. And so we're happy for him. We're happy for all of Argentina. We're happy for anybody that is able to get the real candidate that the people actually want. And so anyway, we'll be happy to share that with all of you, because that's, as far as I'm concerned, well, that's worth 10 points right there.
You bet.
Okay, so the word of the day for Monochromatic Monday comes to us from John chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, that reads under the title, betrayal and arrest in Gethsemane. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way," that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" And that's it. That's wow. It for today, because I'm actually going to cover all of chapter 18, because there's quite a few different little things in here that some people may not know about. And so, like, for instance, the Bible notes on verses 5 and 6 describe the quote, "I am he." And on the surface, these words simply identified Jesus in terms of his Galilean hometown. Just as the other "I am" sayings in John, however, this one also revealed Jesus as God.
Yes.
This explains the impact of his words on the troops, who are involuntarily smitten by his momentary unleashing of his inherent power as God. And so I've always loved that scripture.
Me too. Can you imagine? Yes.
I wish, you know, when we go to heaven, if we get to view all of these things like on video,
you know,
all of these actual events, you know, that's one of the scenes that I want to see, where he says, "I am he," and they all fall down backwards, you know.
I know. I love that scene, and I look forward to seeing that one day.
Yep.
It probably won't be on a video screen. You'll probably actually be able to be there.
Right.
You know, and actually witness it like it actually happened. I'm hopeful anyway of that.
Yep, that's right.
This one, you know, this should have been a very telling thing. Like, all of the soldiers that as soon as he says, "I am he," they all fell down. That would have been a pretty darn good indicator to just walk away.
Right.
You know.
Well, not only that, but Peter steps out trying to defend him and cuts off Malchus's ear.
Yeah.
And then Jesus puts it back on, right?
Right.
I mean, that would be the second indicator that, oops, you probably better just hit the road.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, and that's kind of the cool thing about this passage and the rest of this chapter, because this also gets into where Pontius Pilate is going, uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, no, this is not going to go well.
Right.
You know, because he starts to understand this is not your normal run-of-the-mill guys.
Well, and that very night, his own wife, Pontius Pilate's wife, had a dream about him,
right,
and warned him,
yep,
to not have anything to do with this man.
Yep.
You know, and he knew something's up. This is a very unique person. And he didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Right. Well, so, and there's something that's kind of an intriguing thing to me, that in verse 9, where it says that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none."
Right.
And so I have a question about that, which, you know, it doesn't really describe anything in the Bible notes about, why does he say that I have lost none, when it seems to me that he has lost Judas, right?
Right.
And so I just have always wondered, how is that possible? Judas, it says that, you know, that he who delivers Jesus to the Romans is guilty of the greater sin.
Yes.
And so how is he saying that he's lost? Well, maybe the understanding is that God didn't give him Judas.
Right. I was just going to say, my understanding of that is that Judas was never his.
Right.
He was this was something that he was destined for, but even in his heart, he had never given himself over to Christ in the first place. I mean, also, you know, the word says that Judas was pilfering money from he was the treasurer, right?
Right.
And he was pilfering money from that was given to them. So, you know, he never did belong to Jesus.
Right.
He was one of the disciples, but, you know, he had a specific role to play.
Well, and so that does make it interesting because the person that took Judas's place was Matthias.
Yes.
And we had to look that up because we couldn't remember which one of them had actually replaced him. But the interesting part is that in the New Jerusalem, all of the gates have the names of the 12 tribes,
right,
while the layers of the foundation have the names of the 12 original apostles after Judas.
Right.
And so it says here, it's kind of interesting that this commentary includes this point that we made last week from the Word of the Day. It says, the fact that the New Jerusalem displays both the names of the 12 tribes of Israel from Revelation 21:12 and the names of the 12 apostles shows two things. First, that God distinguishes between Israel and the church. And mm-hmm. Second, both the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers occupy the New Jerusalem.
Right.
God's grace avails for all who believe on his Son as their Savior. So tell
yes.
me if that is not the perfect picture for us to describe today when Christians especially can't figure out whose side to be on, whether they should be supporting Israel or the Palestinians, right?
Right.
And also for the Jews who have not realized that Jesus is the Messiah and he was the
right.
Messiah. And so it's just another, it's a lovely picture from what we talked about last week, where Jesus said that both Jew and Gentile are all one under Jesus Christ. And
yes.
this picture of the New Jerusalem with all of that incorporated into the building, the foundation, and with him as the chief cornerstone. You've got the apostles as the 12 foundation layers and the gates to the New Jerusalem, the 12 tribes of Israel, and Jesus as the cornerstone. And so just in case anyone wanted to know, the 12 names that are going to, that correspond to each of those foundational layers are Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Judas, son of James, and Matthias.
Yes.
And so that is who the 12 foundations are going to be named after.
There we are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really cool.
You know, on the Israeli, the current Israeli thing, you know, it's sad to see still there are so many Christians that are really hung up over, you know, we shouldn't be supporting Israel because they're not the real Jews. The people that came back into the land have, you know, they're not ethnically even pure Jews. They're basically imposters and so on and so forth. But, you know, in Revelation, it clearly says that there's going to be 144,000 witnesses, 12,000 from each of the tribes who are going to be spreading the gospel of Christ.
That's right.
And those are Israelis. I'm sure there are some that are not ethnically Jews or from the same tribes or whatever. But remember, Christ comes back because the nation of Israel cries out for him as the Messiah specifically.
Right.
So that tells you there are real Jews in Israel. Now, maybe all of them aren't, but we also know that 2/3 of the Israelis are going to be killed in the tribulation.
Right.
So the third that are remaining, you know, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are real ethnic Jews, heirs of this covenant, who are going to cry out for Christ, and that's what brings about his return.
Well, I think that genetically speaking, the Jews are the Jews. I mean, there's a reason they have remained the same Jews that they were. No matter what piece of dirt they're standing on, they're still Jews. Whether those Jews from the tribe of Benjamin ended up in Germany or not, you know, who cares? They're still the tribe of Benjamin in Germany, right? I mean, their DNA is going to be the same regardless of what part of the world they're standing on and what part of the world they return to. They're still genetically the same people.
And God knows who those people are.
Well, in fact,
we are seeing the science of that actually be manifested now with this new technology of, you know, your family tree. You can actually get your DNA done, and they can trace it right back to know exactly who what your ancestry is.
Yep.
And they're discovering that now. And a lot of Jews are doing this. In fact, there are people that thought that they had some Jew in them, and so they did this, and they find out that exactly to the tribe that they belong to.
Precisely.
And so, you know, this is really debunking something that came out in the 1700s and 1800s.
That's right.
With this replacement theology that the Christians replaced the Jews who rejected Jesus.
Right.
You know, and all this is right out the window.
Well, and the other thing, too, is like the Kohanim, the tribe of the tribe of Levi, but specifically the high priests have to be the lineage of Aaron only. And those are called the Kohanim, meaning multiple people of the last name Cohen today is the current name for that lineage.
Right.
And so when I had taken Hebrew from the Institute in Jerusalem, that was an online course, my instructor, he was actually of the tribe of Aaron. I mean, he actually had that lineage. He was a Cohen, and he could trace his lineage all the way back to Aaron.
Right.
And so
the tribe of Judah, you mean?
It's the tribe of there's the Levites. And then
there we go.
Aaron. Yeah. Aaron is that whole lineage of specifically Aaron is meant for the high priests.
Right, right.
And so anybody with the last name of Cohen actually traces all the way back to Aaron.
Yes.
And so it doesn't matter what continent they're on. You know, they can still, when they go back to Israel, they're still going to be the same people.
Yep, it's going to be in their blood. It's in their DNA.
Right. And so there was one other thing that's important about these first 11 verses in chapter 18. And it's verse 11 where it says, "So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" Well, this cup is the first cup. This is the first cup in the marriage. It's the betrothal cup, right? Where he's describing that this is the price you're going to pay for your bride.
Right.
Right. This is basically your blood that you are going to pay as more or less the down payment, which you know, the traditional Jewish wedding had that involved as well.
Right.
You know, what they were willing to give to the bride's family in order to have the bride.
The dowry, right.
Yep. And so just the fact that he refers to this in wedding terminology, that, you know, shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? So that's a fascinating point
there as
well.
Yeah, it is. Really cool.
Yep.
All right, well, good. Okay, so this is John?
John chapter 18, verses 1 through 11.
There we go. All right, good one. Thank you.
Praise God.
Indeed. All right, well, let's take a quick break. The segment brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And that's the podcast over there at prepping2-0.com. We'll be back with a very short segment two right after this. Stick around.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Christian Patriots, to segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. We are listener supported, so thank you guys for stepping up and helping us with just $5 or $10 or $20 a month. Any amount is very grateful and much, much needed. All right, Lady Liberty, segment two. We've got this awesome victory in South America.
That's
with the
right.
Argentina.
That's very cool. Yes, everyone, welcome back to Monochromatic Monday. And yeah, this guy that just, he was just elected the next president of Argentina, and he's described as an anti-socialist. I would describe myself as an anti-socialist,
yes,
as well. Anti-communist, anti-fascist, the true Antifa, right?
Right.
And his name is Javier Milei. And boy, this guy is so excited. He's doing this awesome dance. He's just, I mean, you can tell. He's like jubilant, exuberant.
Yeah. He's like a young Trump with a lot more energy.
Yes, right. Right. A lot more dance, too.
And they dance about the same.
Right, yeah, right. Well, and it's the statement here is that Javier Milei has been elected as the next president of Argentina. He's going off on socialist politicians, calling them parasites for stealing from their people.
Good.
He said, "This is a society infected by socialism, and what we need to achieve is to remove socialism from people's minds. Politicians are sociopaths who want to make us believe that we are mentally invalid in every sense because we cannot live without them. If the country were divided between those who produce on one side and the other side, the blank politicians, the syndicalists, this whole bunch of parasites, they would sink and die." And so, well, that was his statement, and he won.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
Fantastic.
The people just went absolutely berserk over this victory.
Yep.
And we should be celebrating with them. Anytime advocates of freedom prevail
over
communists and socialists, especially in this day and age,
right,
we celebrate right with them. That's just awesome.
Yep.
Well, we've got a ton more to cover, but we're out of time, so we're going to roll it over to tomorrow. We've got a lot to cover tomorrow, including a new Trump ad. So join us at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
That's right. You all have a marvelous Monochromatic Monday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.